Through BBS Radio Online, good evening, whatever time of day it is for you. Today it is August the 30th, 2017. It is a Wednesday. And if you have questions, we have answers. That is what the theme is of the call tonight. So you are able to submit questions that you might want to have asked to our sources in the higher realms. Can submit those per email, and as I'm looking for the email address, that is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. So, and we'll see what kind of questions we get tonight. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. We had another person joining in on the phone line. Welcome to this call. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Good evening and welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, and somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. You may stay in the background. I say the email address one more time. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Cecil, C-Serpent, from Seattle.
Hi, Cecil. Good evening. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Quite a crowd tonight.
Quite a crowd. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And we are past the hour of 6 at 6:02 here Pacific. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
That's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome.
Thanks.
All right, and somebody else came in after Don. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley, Ohio.
Hi, Shirley. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, and I welcome all those folks that are listening in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here and participating with our online/conference call gathering tonight. And the next person joining in here, welcome to this call, my dear Angel.
Hi.
Hello,
Terry. Hi there, how you?
Hello, Terry, good evening and welcome. Thank you so much again for being here for the rest of the world.
Thank you. When I'll be on in a minute.
All right. Good to hear that.
Isn't
it? Good. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings from Sedona, Arizona.
All right, Raiden.
Hey. Hi. Congratulations.
Hi. Well, thank you, sweetheart.
What are we congratulating?
You won the jackpot.
All right. That's bigger than Lear, literally.
He's got a wonderful new apartment.
All right, in Sedona.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you all for being here. Welcome all those that have joined in online through BBS Radio. And I want to say the email address again where you can submit a question if you have one, which is questions@intelligent-infinity.com.
Did I mute myself?
You did not.
No.
And we wait for Winfrey to be here shortly. And then we will get this Q&A call going. I want to mention again the Whole Planet Healing Call that we do 7 days a week. 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the phone number, this is not online, so this is, I mean, not on the internet radio. It is only per conference call. And you can find it online at wholeplanethealing.com or make of the phone number I'm going to give you next. 1-712-770-4340. And the access code is 50513#. 712-770-4340. 250-513#. And we had another person on the conference call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Prudy in North Carolina.
And good evening, Prudy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Will you be here for the next call, Prudy?
I think Deb is going to do it.
Okay, good.
I think so, yeah.
And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
You're welcome. Now, Deb, do you hear me? Deb in Oregon?
Yeah, I had to unmute. Sorry.
That's okay. Are you going to be here for the Whole Planet Healing Call?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. Please take care of your cats for me.
Sorry, what?
Your cat. Hi, Wynn.
Hello, guys.
Welcome to the gathering over here.
Guess what?
Speak to me.
What?
I forgot all about this.
You're so honest. I called him up. He says, "Oh, we got a call."
Well, make thank you, Terry.
Make me look good. Okay. I stopped in the store. I said, "I'm going to buy Terry a dinner." So.
Oh, that's what all the people were in the background.
Right. So,
yeah.
I'm just driving up the street. So what can we do for a few minutes while we're driving?
I'll tell you what. Can I read to everybody?
What are you going to read?
Diary. What does it feel like to be you? To our sources. Question.
Is this an answer to that question?
Yeah.
The one you sent. The one that I sent you on a video. Right.
Right.
You know what? I'll tell you guys, well, if you're going to do that, we can start the recording, okay? Now
okay.
Just get time, I'm going to get the call going. I'm going to start the recording, all right?
Start the recording, and I'll introduce what Terry's going to read.
You sound in the background, Wynn, at this point.
Huh?
You sound
in
the background at this point.
I sound in the background?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that better right now?
No.
I wonder why I'm in the background. Oh, hang on a second. I'm on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Well, I'll deal with it when I get back in the house. I'm about 3 minutes away. Okay?
Okay.
But, okay, I start the recording. Okay?
All right.
Okay. Yes.
This conference is being recorded.
This is from a channel.
Well, wait a second. Let me introduce it first. This is August 30th, 2017. Can you hear me okay, Terry? Or am I still in the background?
You're still in the background, but we do hear you.
Yes.
Lynn and Terry in Sedona. This is our call where we ask your questions on behalf of our sources. And just in the last couple of days, I found we have so much extraordinary material. It is really extraordinary. In our archives, and some of it, which is not even in our archives, and I just wish I had all the time to catalog all this material. It's like kind of like the Edgar Cayce material, where they just put output, and then when he died, it all got cataloged by his children and other people. And I hope we get to catalog some of it before we die. But there are, I mean, I forget because we just keep going, but there are some really extraordinary things, unbelievably extraordinary, that I kind of got the idea they were extraordinary when we did them. And they were really far out. And, of course, Terry... It was coming through Terry, and I don't think she never even looked at it. She never listened to it. Now she's looking at it, and she's seeing how amazing it is. And this was from a, I don't even know how long ago this was. It probably was 10 years ago, at least, okay? Maybe more. And I asked them the question, how does it feel to be you? What is it like to be you? And this was their answer, and Terry wanted to read it. So
yeah.
I'll turn it over to Terry, and I'm back at the house. I'll get all set up, and we will be on for your questions in a moment.
Okay. So here we go. It's like the question is, what does it feel like to be you? And that's a question we asked of the sources, and then I channeled the answer. We are so delighted you asked that question, because we were thinking during the preamble of telling you some of those answers, but we decided to wait until you ask the question. In our world, we do not speak English. We communicate in mathematics, mathematical equations and relationships in terms of very easy back-and-forth communications. In other words, let's say that we are working with one of our divisions, which is creating focusing mechanisms. Focusing mechanisms is one of their ways of describing a physical embodiment. We edited that. It's scrolling, so in other words, let's say that we are working with one of our divisions, which is creating focusing mechanisms. Focusing mechanisms is one of their ways of describing a physical embodiment, or the loose connection of concepts that fit then into the interlocking geometries that make up a focusing mechanism. Let's say that the flow is not working to that focusing mechanism quite right. we could communicate in terms of mathematics involved to that individual, and our thoughts would be relayed from energy to energy without language, such as you know language. Our thoughts would be revealed in two ways. One would be the adjustment of mathematics of the connections and the relaying to the area in your realm where the mathematics was not quite right. The Elohim group working on this project would immediately understand the equations that would need changes in the interlocking geometries that would then be fixed and the energy systems repaired that would eventually become a repaired individual soul who had become damaged, for example, in some kind of explosion within the third density and whose matrix had become torn and misaligned. That would be where their light body would have become damaged, and it would have been the Elohim would have come in and would mathematically repaired it. We have higher frequency groups that can send energy that appears in colors, as if one was putting a paintbrush over the scene. It would wash the scene, for example, in light pink, and would convey similarly to a smile in third density, but rather than a visual appearance of a smile, it would convey friendship and warmth. One of our energy units, an individualized Elohim, would feel for another. Do we get tired? One of the reasons for tiredness is the interaction between interlocking geometries that creates some friction and then needs some time for repair. So if an Elohim is working on that particular energy unit, a subgroup working as a team and working on a project that has not been going quite smooth, we start to experience frustration and the fold down of time. That's the slowing down of time. Time goes much more quickly when we are working with the energy units in our realm. We do have a matrix that can extend into your realm, and when that matrix is working on a project that is becoming frustrated, it can misalign our local matrix as we track with the frustrating matrix, and eventually we become in need of repair of our matrix. We need to take a break and rest and to repair our own matrix. We do not think of it so much as sleep as you do in the third density, because when you sleep, you repair not only the physical body, but you repair the mental body and the emotional body. This is an area where the Ra group can help and works with people while they are sleeping in their dreams. They can send dreams to the individual and help to heal emotional issues. For instance, at this time, we, the Ra group, are sending dreams to the channeling entity concerning making mistakes, as there has been a tendency for the channeling entity to want to be perfect. They're talking about me there. In the dreams that the Ra group are sending to the entity, there are opportunities to make mistakes and make corrections and be totally loved during the whole process. This is a teaching kind of a dream that we, the Ra group, can send to one in the third density. It is delightful to live in our density, and as we look at the process of translating from our realm to yours, we think in mathematical terms, and therefore everything is very fast and in total telepathy and love. And there is one more section, some more here. When we look at your realm or one of your questions and begin to form an understanding of the questions, we begin to draw upon our knowledge and the knowledge of all that is to bring in examples or to remote view areas and translate a concept that can help harmonize the problem of an area that the individual is questioning about. A large part of the job still ends up with the human's responsibility for correction. We can point things out that a human may not be able to see directly. The first requirement is for a person to ask, because then we know they are in alignment with the process and they are giving us permission to help with a change and a solution. If they do not ask, then we often will watch that individual moving in a remote, automatic way, working through their issues on the lower third density plane, and that is fine. But when we look at the possibility of manifestations that could make more harmony within the individual's life, then we can comment on that. It is up to the individual and his own effort, willpower, and intention to be able to bring about the change. Much like the chain on the bicycle where the person does the pedaling, and then there is the translation into the movement along the path of the wheels. We hope that gives you a little bit of insight into our life. So that's it.
Thank you. Okay, can you hear me okay, Terry?
Yeah.
I'm better now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just go into this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We again feel the delight that is our joy when we connect with you of this realm. That sometimes seems that your realm feels isolated and you are part of all that is and you are not isolated in the major sense, only in that your focus is into the third density, and it is not to all of the senses, the higher aspects, the world surrounding the world that is loving and friendly and here. So it is a joy to connect. If we ever see anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it as it does not apply to you at that time. We do not come to the telephone line or the computer. We come directly to you. When we were first channeling, We attempted to go through the telephone circuits, but this did not work. So we come directly to you. Do you have questions?
So just on what you were just saying, what we're doing has not been done in this realm before. Is anyone else, you know, where the Elohim is coming over a telephone call, not in person, and putting their energy out to all the people listening?
It is voice only that comes through the telephone line,
right,
or the computer. We come directly to you, which is our traditional way of interfacing.
Okay. Thank you. Questions. First question from Don Herman. Some spiritual philosophies advocate free will, and some advocate the idea of surrendering to a higher intelligence. Okay? Now, I suppose when Don says surrendering, I don't think there's a higher intelligence that's sitting there saying, you guys do this, you guys do that. So it becomes the idea of surrendering to some body of dogma that came from a supposed higher intelligence, that if you surrender to that, you're in the good will, the good graces of this higher intelligence. So in which case, you're not using your free will, you're following the precepts that have been laid down. Don says, I assume they mean surrendering the ego to a higher intelligence. Can or should these ideas be reconciled?
Yes. There is an element of surrender when one is reviewing a potential change, a surrender to be open to information, surrendering to what is, and letting go of what is only hoped to be, but isn't. A openness to knowledge that is shared, a willingness to let go of unworkable tenets and to accept things that are more workable. We do not see a conflict between surrendering and not surrendering. You surrender in a way each day when the sun comes up and you are open to see the sunshine and to travel in a car. There is a great amount of surrendering that goes on in each person's life, which isn't necessarily bad. However, surrendering without review or critical evaluation of what one is moving into can be very detrimental. Does this give some inkling of insight into this area?
Yes, it does. Could we say, if this is an example, let's suppose there's a spiritual gathering and there's a couple of people sitting in the group, and they want to keep talking to each other. So it's their free will, they could think, to keep talking. But they keep their loud talking is going to distract the higher purpose of that gathering. So in which case, somebody has to set a rule down. And then after a while, you know, there's a rule that says if you're coming to this gathering, you can't talk. It's, you know, and it becomes part of the teachings of a particular group. Now, in that case, obviously, if everybody's doing everything they want when they want to do it, it makes it impossible to pull a spiritual energy together. And if the goal of the group is to put together a group energy, however they would call it, Christians call it communion, and if the goal of the group is to put together a group energy, and people are going to be doing things that would be counter to that, then there has to be an enforcement of a rule that says, don't talk when we're doing that. So that's on the positive side of the dogmas that may be in a religion, okay? And
yes,
there may have been...
Going along with the, they're in agreement with the rules of the game. So it is not difficult. You probably would not call it surrendering. You would call it co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Cooperating.
Yes.
And then there are times in periods of our history when people, and those times may be now as well, okay? But let's just say in the past, people were unruly. People were desperate. When people are desperate, they tend to do things that can hurt other people. They can do crimes. They're more apt to do crimes. And so... there may have, even though we don't like the idea of a god of fear or punishment, and I don't endorse that, and I don't believe that actually is God, but there may be, have been a reason amongst the people putting it together to make God look like that, to keep unruly people more in line, and the fear might keep them in line. Just like even without religion, people may not do certain crimes because they may go to jail. It creates the fear of jail or the fear of capital punishment. So as much as we don't like fear, in certain cases, fear may be the only thing that keeps peace. Can you comment on that?
When one is part of society, there are certain rules for the society to continue. When one is breaking those rules and becoming unruly and disrespectful and is not fitting in, then justice and law and order steps in and puts them in line so that the society and the majority of people can continue.
Thank you.
Next question from Dharmananda. Well, you know, and I'll just make an introduction to this question. In traditional Christianity, there is this idea that there's going to be a rapture. In other words, people are going to float up into heaven, or where, you know, I don't know where Christianity might describe that, probably heaven, and the good people, the Christians, the people, the God-fearing people, will rapture, and everyone else will remain for the tribulation, which is going to be very negative. That's a Christian concept. And I believe it comes from Revelations, the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations was not written by Jesus while he was there. It was written after his crucifixion. And supposedly, and I can't remember his name, got channeling from Jesus. They didn't use the word channeling, but he believed Jesus was communicating with him. And there were all these prophecies of the future that many of them kind of negative. You know, the seven horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the tribulation, blah, blah, blah. I think that's from Revelations. I think so. So the question is, this is not Dharmananda's question, but it almost is. But this is a bigger question to start with, which has to do with Revelations. And how trustworthy is the information that's in Revelations?
Thank you. We prefer you stick with Dharmananda's question.
Okay. Will there be a rapture soon for us to be taken up into the higher realms?
Say that again slowly.
Will there be a rapture soon for us to be taken up into the higher realms? If so, then can you describe how it will happen and when it will happen?
Thank you. Civilization after civilization has looked at the possibility within their time period of this being so. When you take into account free will, then we do not wish to predict some kind of tribulation. However, if you look at your daily events on Earth, people run into trials and tribulations fairly frequently. As many of the people that lived in certain parts of Texas have then experienced great tribulation recently. It is an individual thing, and a person's outcome is influenced by their own resources, their own responses, their own reactions, their own resourcefulness. It is an individual thing, not as something that is looked at as wide spread for everyone. The individual's own willpower and their own positioning, their own life must be taken into account. We see it as a generalization, and we do not see it as something that will apply to everybody, but individually people run into their own tribulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Will the idea of a rapture, even for one person, be possible?
A what?
A rapture. Yeah, okay. In other words, is there one person who will suddenly disappear from this realm and end up in a higher realm? And what makes it possible for that person, if that's true?
It is a generalized statement based upon ascension, where one may ascend into the heavenly realms and find oneself transported into a higher realm. All the time, people are passing over, and it is their time, their chance to experience their own rapture and to ascend.
But they're doing that when they pass over. We're talking about, is anyone going to translate in a body?
We do not see in general, although some people might, we do not see this as a general thing. And we do not even know why some would like to take their heavy body, their physical body, into a higher realm. They have the light body that is like a carbon light copy of their physical body that translates much more easily and keeps their all of their talents, all of their abilities, all of their self together, and as a vehicle for movement beyond the physical body. And many of the maladies of the physical body then are shed. One can move to an earlier age in their light body and can begin again through their light body to experience life at a higher energy and higher level.
Thank you. I think that is wonderful clarification, okay? Because people wonder about that. Next question. Valerie? I may not ask this whole question, okay? You know, it's one of those questions that I'm going to go through it, but it's so specific to you. So let me see what the most important aspect of it is. And here's the way she wrote it. When I was 16, I stepped back and fell through the opening to a flight of stairs. Below about 20 feet, I landed on my tailbone. I remember.
Would you repeat that?
When she was 16, she stepped backwards and fell down, it sounds like a flight of stairs, 20 feet. and landed on her tailbone, okay?
Yes.
And she remembers seeing a huge area with a very foggy white light and all kinds of people actually silhouettes clapping and yelling, "Yay, Valerie." So, of course, I started floating towards them as they were so welcoming. But then I realized, hey, wait a minute, this is death. No, no, no. So I said, I'm not ready yet. I have a lot of work to do. And then I could hear my friends in the barn talking and wondering what happened to Valerie. And one guy named Jim said, oh, my God, I know where she is. He came flying down the stairs and started to drag me up, and I begged him not to move me because my legs were paralyzed. But in his panic, he did anyway. He brought me to the top of the stairs and leaned me up against the wall, and there I sat with no feeling in my legs, and I prayed to God. I prayed to God that no matter what happens, if I cannot walk again, please do not let Jim blame himself for moving me. Within a very few minutes, I could feel my legs again. So my question is, why were all those spirits welcoming me as I wasn't ready to die? Okay, so she said, the falling down the stairs was not a dream. That was real. And she hurt her tailbone, and she was paralyzed. And I suppose she had, she didn't use this language, but it sounds like an out-of-body experience where she felt people were greeting her, and then she didn't go with it, and her legs fixed themselves, okay, after she prayed.
Yes.
And so... who were the spirits welcoming me, and how does the prayer I ask not to blame Jim actually help get feeling back in my legs?
Thank you. It took a little bit of time for your body to come back to the feeling. As you had left your body, when your body flew down the stairs, and when you came back to your body, then you were able to put the connections, to reconnect with the areas of your body, and to gradually increase the feeling in your legs as you gradually reconnected your senses and your neural pathways, and also the prayers helped you to put the body back into its proper matrix formation. Who were the people? They were people welcoming you to the other side as they saw you and you saw them. However, you were not ready. These were people, some of them, that you had known in your past lives. Some of them were part of a welcoming crew to welcome people to the higher realm. Some of them you knew, some of them you didn't.
Did she go through a tunnel of light? Did she go through a tunnel of light to reach those people?
Not necessarily, because when something is so sudden like that, one could be catapulted straight into a higher realm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But she was in a heaven realm when that was occurring.
It was at a higher realm, the entrance to the heavenly realm.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's go to the next question. And Edna, I am going to skip yours because you're not going until November on that trip, so we have some time. And so Jim Blahut, this will be our last question, I think. I believe this question ties into the existence after death theme we have been expanded. I recently came across a question and answer I had asked on September 21st, 2016. In effect, the question was, why do bad things happen to good people? It was in connection trying to understand our sources explained. It was a connection in trying to understand the ailments recently diagnosed regarding my 7-year-old niece, Philomena. In the answer, our sources explained it isn't something that is preordained. It is just something that is created, but not even necessarily by the person. The person may be the innocent target of something. That something then being identified as other spirits that have died and crossed over. Our sources continue, so you have spirits passing over that are very upset and do not know how to further express themselves and feel like they are left out. Then our sources went in a direction I did not anticipate. The knowledge in the past of how to help spirits that have passed over has been really deficient, and there needs to be a technology that can go in and see exactly what it is that is the issue of the troubling entity that is creating problems. Back to Jim. I generally view the relationship between us and the higher realms as the higher realm beings being available to help us behind the veil, the restricted and unaware beings here in the lower realm. The statement by our sources seems to suggest the inverse is also true, that we here in 3D realm can and should help guide contracted, stuck spirits that have crossed over as well. I call attention to the words knowledge in the past, deficient, and technology. What were our sources referring to, and what can we do as beings of service to assist our spirit brothers and sisters who feel totally left out and wind up manifesting hardship on innocence in our realm?
Thank you. Well, one of the things is to dispel the prevalent current belief that once the individual has crossed over or has their body has died, that they are gone, that they are invisible, that they are no longer around. For instance, like Morley Safer, when he discovered the communication line between the Elohim and Terry Nguyen, he came through on this communication line, and he was just very, very upset that in the that 80,000 people think I'm gone, and I'm not. He says, I'm here. I'm here. And the first thing is to let people know more about what happens when a person crosses over, and so they individually, when they have a loved one that has crossed over, they can still know that the person is okay. They're in their light body, and the person has crossed over, they're in their light body, and they can still hear, they can still see, and to change the concepts that people have and spread more knowledge of what happens after a person's death, then the Elohim were referring to, besides changing the overall beliefs, you know, to bring more of the truth in of what is actually going on, to have like a team or a group like Fred or like Terry that can see these people and can communicate and can see from this side if there's any assistance or communication that is needed. There are a few people in your society that do this kind of work, that connect with people that have crossed over, and they're helpful to those particular people. But a few people like Fred and his group and Liz and other people, there are others around that can that have these abilities, and like a medical team comes to work with a person and put them back in shape. If they've had an accident, perhaps there could be a team of individuals who could be contacted once somebody has crossed over, and just to be available to anybody that has crossed over and see if there's any help from this side that can be granted.
Which is something we do on these calls sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? You know what? It's interesting that you mentioned that, because someone had made a request. Who was it? Hang on a second here. I'm sorry. You know what? I missed that call tonight. I didn't catalog it. I think it was from John Morton about his mother.
David Morton?
David Morton. His mother, Margaret, on the other side. He just wanted a checking in on her.
She is a beautiful being. She is increasing her frequency, and we do not wish to bring her back into this realm, as she is doing nicely in her progress to move to the higher realm.
Okay, thank you. We're going to end this call now. We did get everyone's question but Edna's. And Edna, I'll do yours. You know, I skip your question because over the years you've had so many questions and letting other people get the feel of it. And also, your trip is not until November, so we'll get it in certainly before November. We're going to end this call. I'm going to unmute everybody. Where are we?
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Seattle.
Thank you. We'll see you in Whole Planet Healing. 712-770-4340, 250-513.